Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chav Zayin, and we are 21 lines from the bottom of daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. It's the first wide line, the two dots, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emasai. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunim Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Rufu Shalema for Rechama Rivka Bas Rachel, Zisul Rachel Bas Alta Frumit, Sar Nechama Bas Rus Malka, and Malka Bas Chaya Sima. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Shmuel Tzvi, Ben Reb Avra. So we're still discussing the Mishnah on Daf Chof Dalet Amid Beis, which mentions the Ve'elu Hein Apsulin, HaMasachik Bekuvya, V'Hamalva Beribis, U'Mafriche Yoinim, V'Soichare Shvias. We saw in yesterday's daf that list, B'Meshach HaDoiros, was expanded upon. Hoisifu Aleim HaGazlonim V'HaChamsonim. Regardless, at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that as it relates to a Mesachik Bekuvya, and according to some Shittas, Mafriche Yoinim, the only time that they are going to be Pasul Eidus is Bizman She'en Lehem Umnes Elohu, if they don't have any other job. If, however, they have another job, then already they're going to be kosher. The first Gemara in the Sugya made this Toloi in the Machloikis, Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes, why it is that a Mesachik Bekuvya is Pasul Eidus. Is it because Asmachta Leikanya, or maybe but it's related to the fact that they're not Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalom. Either way, Zokti Gemara, Amar Abba Avo, Amar Abba Lazar, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. The Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that the only time a Masachik Bekuvi is Pasul Eidus is if he doesn't have a real job. If, however, he does have a real job and he only gambles recreationally, then already he's not going to be Pasul Eidus. Zokti Gemara, Amar Abba Avo, Amar Abba Lazar, Rabba Avo said another Halach in the name of Rabba Lazar also pertaining to our sugyo. Kulon Srichin Hachraza Bebezin. All these people that I mentioned in the Mishnah, that they're Pasul Ladin Ulaheir, are only Pasul if there was a Hachraza Bebezin. Meaning Bezdin made an announcement and said, Ploini is a Masachik Bekuvya. Ploini is a Malva Beribis. Ploini is from the Oisvei Shmias. Otherwise, they will not even be Pasul Eidus. Okay, the Gemara, Pligi by Rav Acha Ravina. There was a machlekes between Rav Acha Ravina. Chadama once said, as it relates to a Raya, Bayi Hachrasa. The Chadama and the other one said that as it relates to a Raya, Loi Bayi Hachrasa. So again, Rabbi Vos and the name Rabbi Laza, that the only time the Psulim of our Mishnah are Pasul is if there was first a Hachrasa. What about a Raya? Does a Raya need Hachrasa or does he not? And that was a machlokes between Ravacha and Ravina. One said Bayi Hachrasa and the other one said Loi Bayi Hachrasa. Now why would a Raya be different? So really, it goes to the root of understanding why you would even need hachraza. The point of having hachraza is that if somebody engages in a transaction and he asks someone to be an aide and then finds out later that that person was a pasul aide, what was he supposed to do? And really, there's a possibility that the whole economy is going to be turned upside down. We find so many halachas that were put into place because of pseida delekuchos, etc., etc. So Chazal said that being that not everyone knows what's going on by Yenin, so the only time a person is considered a Pasul Eidus is to the extent that there's Achraza. But if there's no Achraza, then he's not going to be treated as if he's Pasul Eidus. It's for that reason, by a Raya, it was a little bit of a Shaila, because it seems like everyone knew who the Rayas were, the town shepherds, and everyone knew that the shepherd was Pasul Eidus. And it's for that reason, although generally speaking, the only time someone makes it to this infamous list, Lamaisa, is if there was some form of Achraza, but when it comes to a Raya, then maybe not. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlam, the Mandam, according to the Mandama that says that a Raya doesn't require Achraza. I understand what Rabbi Yehuda Marav said in yesterday's daf, Stam Raya Apostle. Oh, what does it mean, Stam Raya Apostle? Afilu on Achraza. El Mandama by Achraza. But according to Mandama that says that even a Raya requires Achraza, my Stam Raya Apostle. What does it mean, Stam Raya Apostle? So the Gemara, what it means is, very simply, the Bistama Machrezinon Olah. That Min Hastam will be Machrez, as opposed to what? As opposed to the Gabbai in yesterday's daf, who the only time we would be machriz on him that he's Pasul Eidus is if we know that he's actually a troublemaker. In other words, Stam Raya Pasul means that if a person's a shepherd, he's Pasul Eidus. Now, all Psulei Eidus require Hachraza, and as a result, obviously you're going to need Hachraza. But the point of Stam Raya Pasul doesn't mean it doesn't need Hachraza. What it means is that if a person's a Raya without any more information, that's enough for us to now make the Hachraza and make him Pasul, in contrast to what? Again, this was all yesterday's daf. In contrast to the Gabbai, who, even if we don't know for that, if we don't know for a fact that he ever did something that he wasn't supposed to do, we would not be machriz on him, and he would not be posulate. Zokti Gemara, an anecdote related to this halacha. Him matano, there was a shtar matano. Davi chesimi alot tring gazlonim. So somebody gifted somebody something, gave it to him in writing. That's the good news. The bad news is that the two Edim were both kepshutai gazlonim. So Rapapa Bar Shmuel, achshur. Rapapa Bar Shmuel saw the star, says, looks kosher to me. Why? The halay achrezin and alayu. Because although it's true these people were gazlonim, but there was never a achroza that they're posulatus. So if there's never a achroza that they're posulatus, that's our halacha. You don't become posulatus unless there's a achroza. Amalei Rava. So Rava told him, nehid be inan achroza be gazlon de rabbanon. Or be gazlon de reisa mi be inan achroza. It's true when it comes to a gazlon de rabbanon, you need achroza. But by a gazlon de reisa, even though in the spirit of the law, what should really be the difference? But when it comes to a gazlan d'iraisa, there you don't need hachrozah. And being that these people were found to be gazlanim d'iraisa, there it was different. In other words, our Mishnah, as we've mentioned so many times, is discussing all chevra that are only psulei edos midirabanan. Being that they're only psulei edos midirabanan, so it's for that reason we have this addendum, amar abavo, amar abalazar, kulon tzrichan hachrozah d'bezit. But if you were dealing with people that are psulei edos midirabanan, there already would be different. Incidentally, we didn't really go through this, but Taisis, right in the beginning of the sugya, and Daf Chaf Dalet Amid Beis, he works through the entire Mishnah, especially now that we learned the whole sugya already, pretty much. And he works through why is it that all the people mentioned in the Mishnah are only psulei edus midrabban. Right, let's just go through it high level. Hamesachik Bekuvya. So the Mesachik Bekuvya is what? According to Rami Bar Chama, Asmachta Leikanya, and gambling is considered an Asmachta. He's a seemingly regular Gazon Deiraisa. According to Rav Sheishis, it's he's possible Eidus because he's not Oisab Yeshuva Shalom. Okay, so that obviously is Din Rabbanan. But if you hold that it's because of Asmach Tolikanya, you would think he should be possible Eidus Midei Raisa. It's Tosfos Kasha. And Tosfos says that you have to say that although a gambler, according to Rami Bar Chama, is a Gazlan Dei Raisa, but at the same time, he's not a malicious Gazlan, right? In his mind, he's not really doing anything wrong. He's doing what a lot of people do. And he knows that if he wins, he's entitled to the earnings that he's supposed to earn. So although from a pure technical perspective, he's a gazlan, and maybe what he took is something that he's not supposed to keep, and he has a mitzvah, the heshavas hagzela asher gazal, but from a malicious intent perspective, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. And as a result, he's not a chashud to now make us think that maybe he would testify falsely because somebody slipped him a few dollars and that's something that he's willing to do. In other words, the reason a gazlan is possible edus is not so much there's a gazlan. It's more because he's a chashit. That was the truth from the Chassam Sofer that we spoke out. It's more related to the chashit shabai. And being that it's more related to the chashit shabai, so this person is not going to be considered a chashit. What about a malva beribis? That sounds like checkmate. Malva beribis is definitely someone that's Rosha Midei Raisa. How could he only be Pasal Eidus Midei Rabbanon? So Tosfos says you have to say it's talking about Ribbis Sheina Ktsutsa. Perkezu Neshach. We know sometimes it could be Malva Beribbis where it's Ribbis Dei Raisa. Sometimes it's only the Rabbanon. Mafriche Yoinim. So if Mafriche Yoinim is Mesachik Bekuvya, then see above. And if Mafriche Yoinim is Ara, so that the Gemara already said is only Gzela Mipnei Darkei Shalom. What about Oisvei Shvias? So Tosfos says you'll have to say Oisvei Shvias is talking about Shvias Bezman Azeh, which is only the Rabbanon. You'd have to work through the Brice as well. Tosfos doesn't work it through, so just Tein Lachach and the Yech Gemoy. But again, our Mishnah are all Psulei Eidus Midei Raisa. That's why Rabba Vo said, name Rabba Laza, Kulam Tzrichan Achraza Bebezden. But as it relates to regular Psulei Eidus Midei Raisa, dear, you don't have this tonight, that it requires Ha'achraza. Zok to Gemara Vait. Simin, Dovar Va'arayis Ganav. Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Oichle Dovar Achar, Psulim Eidus. People that eat Dovar Achar are possible edus. So what does it mean? They eat davar achar. So Rashi, mekablet stokim in a nachri. If someone's mekablet stokim from a nachri, he's possible le edus. He's the oichle davar achar. And the reason is, the havi chilul Hashem, machmas mamoy, the havi kirosh at the chomes. Because if somebody takes charity from any Yehudim, he's making a chilul Hashem. He's desecrating the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he does it because of money, That's what his motivation is. He's a regular Rosh of the Chamas, and he's going to be postulated. Zok the Gemara, that being that the whole issue to take stalker from a guy is because of Chil Hashem. The only time it's going to be a problem is if he does it publicly. Aval Betzin Eloi, because then there's no Chil Hashem. Even the Farhesi, and Ami Lai Marin, even the Farhesi, this is only true. Elo the Efshele, Le'etzune Betzinah, Vekam Mevazi Nafshi Befarhesi. It'd only be true if this person has a way of getting Betzinah, and instead of taking Betzinah, he decided that he wants a Befarhesi. If, however, it's not possible, avaloy efshele, then chiyusehu, then he's doing this pasha to be able to live, and if he's doing it pasha to be able to live, so this doesn't fall in to that category, it's not going to make him pasul edus. So it's interesting, the Gemara says that oichle dover achar, a pasul edus, and what are oichle dover achar? Rashi says, mekableit stokem in anachrim. If somebody takes stokem from a goy, he's oichle dover achar. Rabbi Reuven Margolis brings from a kadmon. I don't know who the Kadman is because it's a Rosh HaTevis and I forgot to try to research it before the share. But he brings from a Kadman, he's being Oimer Dava B'Shem Oimroi, that why is it that someone that accepts charity from an Einu Yehudi is referred to someone that's eating a Dava Racha? So he said, Pshat based on the Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yura Mebeis, and Perik HaShutfin. The Gemara over there talks about the Tztoka of Goyim. The chesed l'umim chatos. That when l'umim, when the umay sa'olim give charity, it's chatos. It's a sin. It's a bad thing. So two members. Zok the Gemara. Cold stock of a chesed. Sha'ev dekechavim oisin. Chetu lahem. It's an avera. She'ein oisin elolis yarabai. Because the reason they're doing it is for gaiva. V'chalam is yar. Noifel begehen. Another Gemara. Om Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said in the name Rabbi Lazar Hamoidoi. That why is it that when a guy gives stock, it's considered a bad thing? The reason is she'ein oisin elo lecharef oisanu bay. They do it to make us look bad. Oh, the Jews think that they give so much charity, and how much charity we give. In other words, when the goyim give tzedakah, they're doing something very, very good. But really, they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Meaning, they're acting and they're making believe that they're kosher. But in reality, it's chatas. In reality, they're not. Everybody knows that the chazer has split hooves. And it likes to flaunt it a little bit. Look at me. I'm a kosher animal. But in reality, he's not a kosher animal. So that's why people that took charity from the Oivdei Kechavim went down as oichle davaracha. Just like the chazer likes to show his split hooves of a lemaisa we know as chazer treif. So too, these chever, they're giving all this charity of a lemaisa. It's not really a good thing. Next halach. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, hachoshet alo aroyoy. If someone's chashen on arayis, he's not posulatus. He's koshulatus. I'm Rav Sheishas. Rav Sheishas said, "Oni mori arbam bekasve de kosh." How's it possible? What? This person's getting malchus for what he did. He's a chashen on arayis, and you tell me that he's koshulatus? I'm a rabba. Rabba said, "I'm oydu Rav Nachman. Nachman's moydu the Indian edus isha shehu posul." Meaning, he's koshulatus because just because he's chashen on arayis doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to testify falsely in other areas. However, as it relates to edus isha, being that he's choshen on arayis, for this Indian, he's already possible. This that we say that a choshen on arayis is possible edus isha, that's only true if he wants to be matur and eshes esh. And the reason is because we choshed him that maybe he really wants to marry this woman as the choshen on arayis. So he doesn't want it to be an eshes esh. So this is where he's choshed. This is where we're not going to trust him. If, however, what he wants to do is fakered, he's saying edus that someone's an eshes esh. So then, why should he be chashed? So he's only chashed the kulo. He's not chashed the chumra. So Gemara pshita. It's so obvious. Obviously, why would he be a chashed and want someone to be considered married if she's really not? So the Gemara says, "Malutem." I would have thought, "Ha adifale." Maybe faket. Maybe this person is such a chashed on arayis that he actually wants this woman to be treated and perceived as married. Well, really, she's not. But he's going to lie so people should think she's married. Dichsev say kibim mekayim de pasik mayim genuvim yimtaku. Kamashmalon, that he's not a chashan. In other words, someone that's chashan on arayis, that would have been a havamina, he would want to testify falsely that a woman is married when really she's not. So like this, when he does an avera with her, it'll be mayim genuvim, which is yumtaku, which is sweeter than mayim that's not genuvim. So therefore he's lying. So I would have thought he's a chashan. Kamashmalon, no. He's only a chashan le'afuki, he's not a chashan le'iyuli. What's the obvious kasha? The obvious kasha is, it has no avana. Because if this woman is really not married, so by him testifying falsely that she's married, all of a sudden it's going to be mayim genuvim. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Sichas Musar, he says that you see from here the length that a pirate's gather, that's the way he phrased it, is willing to go. That people want to do bad on such a level that I would rather this woman be considered married and do the Avera, so there'll be a perception of Mayim Genuvim Yom Taku, even though really it's not Mayim Genuvim, so really, for all intents and purposes, it's not Yom Taku. In other words, the Bali Musa had a field day with this. But I saw there a Reuven Margolis, here, Margolis Sayam, he says something beautiful. Reuven Margolis says that he saw this Kasha's ass. Nobody understands. What's the Mayim Genuvim Yom Taku? It's not Mayim Genuvim Yom Taku. So he says, if you look at the Gemara says, Dechsiv Mayim Genuvim Yom Taku v'goymer. What does v'goymer mean? V'chulu. So he said, look at the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk is, Mayim genuvim yim taku, v'lechem sisarim yinam. Lechem sisarim yinam, bread that a person eats while he's hiding, yinam. It's also more noyam. It's also more zis. It's also sweeter. This person doesn't think that by him testifying falsely, it's going to become mayim genuvim. It's not mayim genuvim, because l'maisa, she's a pnuya. She's not an eishes ish. But a yois, if he testifies, people are going to think she's an eishes ish. So if he's going to do an aveira with her, it's going to have to be done b'seiser and lechem sesarim, you know. The raya was not from mayim genuvim yom taku. It's from lechem sesarim, you know. He says, that's why it says v'goymer in the Gemara. Why did it say v'goymer? Because that's the derech of the shas sometimes. Right, you bring the beginning. We're supposed to know the end of the pasuk, right? So you bring the pasuk and it says v'goymer. Meaning, I mean the seif of the pasuk. No one ever thought that he meant the ratio of the pasuk. Pilei plain. But either way, that's what Rabbi Margol says. That concludes the Margolos Hayams for today's daf. Either way, zok the Gemara weiter. Kamash Malon, we didn't fear the Kamash Malon. What's the Kamash Malon? The Kama de Kaima Hachish Chichole. That at the end of the day, as much as there is a Svara of Maim Gruvi Yim Taku, or maybe it's really the end of the Pasuk Velechem Sasarim Yinam, no, but Maisa is not a Chashit to that. He's a Chashit La Fuke, he's not a Chashit La Yuli. Zok de Gemara, Ubedavar. Vamrab Nachman said a third halacha. Ganav Nisan, the Ganav Tishrei, Loishmei Ganav. Good to know. So someone that steals during Nisan or someone that steals during Tishrei, lo shmei ganav, right? You must read the fine print. Zok digemar, v'hani mili, when is this true? Barisa. It's only true for a sharecropper. V'dover mu'it, and when he takes a little bit, u'bedover shenigmer malachtai, and only if the thing that he's taking is nigmer malachtai. In other words, we're dealing with an oris. This is a sharecropper. And these are the zmana kotzer, and the zmana butzer, and the zmana asif, when there was a lot of food that was ready to be eaten. The sharecropper is very likely going to be Moira Hatter, and he's going to think, listen, I'm a pile over here, and I have certain rights, so if I'm going to start snacking on a glass of wine or something while I'm working the vineyard, mehechatesi, this is not something I'm allowed to do. Now, he's not allowed to do it. He's a gazer. And by the way, even though Payalim have certain halachas, my first, second parak of a sechta is brachas, you have a lot of these dinim. But at the same time, an artist is not allowed to. So, what he's doing is wrong, but he's also Moira Hatter. And as a result, despite the fact that there's an element of Gneva over here, he doesn't become Pasoleidus. But again, it's only true if he's an Aris, it's only true if it's a Davar Mu'ud, and it's only true if what he's taking was already Nigra Malachta, because that's where it's Chalva being Moira Hatter. Ikre, the Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid had farmers. Chad Ganav Kaba de Sairi, one of them stole a Kav of Sairim, Upasle, and he passed them. The Chad Ganav Kibura Dahini, the other one stole a cluster of dates, Upasle, and he passed them. Ibi just said Ganav Nisa, the Ganav Tishri, Loichmei Ganav, and presumably that was the story. The Teretz is, they were good old fashioned farmers. They weren't Arisen. An Aris is a shtickle, a shotef. He has cheer. Profit sharing, as opposed to this ikur not hanuk furoi the cover nafsha beyond the rishon shel atzeres. There were certain grave diggers that they buried somebody on the first day of Shavuos. Shamtinu rapapa paslimu leedos. Rapapa put them into cherim and said that they're pasul leedos. Why? They violated the laws of Yontif. Now, even though we know on Yontif Sheni, you're allowed to bury Mesim, Kechol Shavu Rabbanon, first Perek Masech Tizbeya, but this was Yontif Rishon, right? This is the first day of Shavuos. So what they did was wrong. So number one, they were put into Cherim, and number two, they were told that they're Pasul Eidos by who? By the great Rav Papa. Zok the Gemara, Abavach Shirinu, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, he said, you're Kashal Eidos. I'm like, Rav Papa told him, Varushan Ninu. How could you say they're Kashal Eidos? What they did is something wrong and they're Rishon. So the Gemara says, Sabri Mitzvah Ka'avdi. It's true what they did was wrong, but they thought they were doing a mitzvah. This takes us back to that Tosfos. They're not a Kashal. Faith the Gemara, Vakasham Tinalo. Rav Papa said, but I put them in Cherim. So once I put them in Cherim, they knew they were doing something wrong. And apparently, even after they were put in Cherim, they used to continue doing this. Gemara says, he told him back, Savi Kapara, Ka'avdalan Rabbana. No, I'm being Malamed Tzchos. Maybe the reason they thought they would put in Cherem is because they needed a Kapara. Right? You find this idea sometimes, that a person does something which he has a right to do, but at the same time he needs Kapara for doing it. What's Exhibit A for that? Exhibit A is somebody fasts a Tainus Cholam on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Yisan a Tainus Letanisa. So there is such a concept, there's such a patent, where you had a right to do it, so to speak, but at the same time you need Kapara, so maybe that's what's going through their mind. Either way, that was the Machlokes of Papa Rav Huna of Yeshua, whether or not we should put them into the category of people that are going to be postulators. Either way, this next Gemara that we're about to learn is a very lumbish Gemara. We're going to go through it fairly quickly because it's the Gemara that we've gone through Be'ez Hashem together so many times. In the course of this Gemara, we're going to see two machloikis in between Abaye and Rava, and both of these machloikis are very, very unique because they're both on the list of Yalkigam, which are the six times where we paskin like Abaya over Rava. The first is the machloikis Abaya v'Rava ezoimim lemafreya hu nifsal or mikanu labo hu nifsal. The second is mumur oichel neveilois lehachis. Does he become posel eidos or does he not become posel eidos? Zoktimar itma ezoimim as it relates to an ezoim. So again, somebody was found to be an ezoimim. Let's just set up the case the way Rashi presents it. Top line of the Amid, Hayyad bin Nisan, somebody walked into Bez and he said, Eidus and Chodesh Nisan, the Huzam b'Tishrei. And then Chodesh Tishrei, he was found to be an Eid Zoynim. Al Eidusu, on the Eidus that he said in Chodesh Nisan. So again, the Eidus that he said was in Chodesh Nisan, he was found to be an Eid Zoynim in Chodesh Tishrei. So the question is now that he's found to be an Eid Zoynim, he's possible Eidus, right? He's the most obvious postulator in the world. He's someone that was found guilty of actually testifying falsely. The question is, when he becomes postulator, does he become postulator to Mafreya from the time that he testified falsely, or is it from the time that he became an Eidzak? Abayu Amal Mafreya Nifs. Abayu says he becomes apostle of Mafreya, going back to when he said the Eidu Sheker. The Rav Amar Rava says, Mikanu Labo Nifsal. No, it's not from Nisan, it's going to be from Tishrei. From the time that it became an Eid Zaymim, that's when he's supposed to Abayim Lomafreyu Nifsal. Abayim says it becomes possible Lomafreya, that's easy. Mi'idna da Asid Rashu. Because the glory Muslim Lomafreya, that when he said Eidus, he was already a Rosh at that time. Vatayra Amra, Toshis Yotchim Rashu. And what do we darshan from there? Al Toshis Rashu Eid. Meaning at that point, he's already a possible Eidus. So any Eidus that he's going to testify from then moving forward is obviously going to be a possible Eidus. Rav Amar Mikanu Labo Nifsal. Rava says that he's only going to be possible in Kanu Laba. Why? Because Eid Zaymim Chiddush. Because really, the whole concept of an Eid Zaymim is a Chiddush. Because my chazis, the samchis, ahani, smaychahani, mechatesi, every hazama, we should trust the second peer of Eidim more than the first peer of Eidim. The Teretz is, the Torah says that's what you're supposed to do. And if that's the case, ein l'chaboy ela mishas chidushay ve'elach. But that's the rule whenever it comes to a chiddush. We always minimize the chiddush as much as possible. So the fact that these first two Eidim, the Eidim Zoyim and Apostle Eidos, is a chiddush. And if it's a chiddush, ein l'chaboy ela mishas chidushay ve'elach. Which is from the time that they were found to be Eidim Zoyim. So you're right, logically it makes no sense to say that their Apostle Eidos, but not lemafreya from when they testified falsely. Zakrova, but there's nothing logical about the sugi of Eidzoyman. Eidzoyman Chiddushu, it defies logic. And if that's the case, in l'chabay elamishas chidusha ve'eloch, they're going to be pasal edus from the time of the Azama, but they are not going to be pasal edus lemafreya. Ikadamri, some say, Rava nami kabayas virle. That Rava really held like Abaya. Why then is it that Rava holds Eid Zoyim is Mikanu Laba? Who nifsal? It's not because Ein L'chabay Elam Shas Chidusha Ve'elach, but rather it's Mishum Pseida De Lekuchais. Because Rava was worried about all the Lekuchais. What's going to be when anyone that bought something and he trusted these Chevra as being Kasher Eidim? There was no way in the world to know that in 6 months from now Eidim Zoyim were going to somehow become part of this equation. As a result, those Lekuchais that bought things, they have a star to prove that they bought it based on these Eidim. All of a sudden, the whole thing goes up and can't be. So, Mishum Pseida de Lekucha is Hefke Bezen Hefke. Chazal said that this is the way it's going to be. Zoktimar Mai Benai. What's the Nafkemina? Pshad and Rava. Why Eid Zoymi Mekano Labo Nifsal is because of Ein L'chaboy El Mishas Chidusha Ve'eloch or because of Pseida de Lekucha. So, the Gemara says two Nafkeminas. Ike Benayu, Nafkemina number one is Das Hidu Beitrei Bechad. Vitrei Bechad. What would be if two Eidim came and passed one, and another two Eidim came and passed the other? So over here, it's really not such a chiddush that you're trusting the second pair of Eidim. Because when is it a chiddush that you trust the second pair of Eidim? When it's two against two. But when it's two against one, then already It's not such a chiddush. So if the reason that you say a zayim mikanu labo nifsal is because ein lecha el mishas chidushe ve'elach, well, over here chiddush lako. If, however, it's mishum pseida de lekuchos, then pseida ikra inabi de paslininu begazlanus. What will be if the second kat edim, they didn't say about the first pier of edim imanu or yisim emakom pleini, but rather what they said was is that they're gazlonim. That was what they said. They passed them for a different reason, not because of hazama, because they're gazlonim. That is already a whole different type of edus. That has nothing to do with my chaz is the samchasahani smoichahani. That's not a regular trade. There's no chiddush in the fact that we trust the second pair of Edom, and it's for that reason. In that case, if the reason why we say a zaymim mikanu laba who nifsal is mishas because ein lechaba el mishas chiddush over there, there's no chiddush. If it's because of pseida de lekuchos over there, you're going to have the pseida de lekuchos. So what's the bottom line? A zaymim Abaye says I'm afraid of nifsal. Rava says mikanu laba nifsal. Abaye says I'm afraid of nifsal. That's obvious. Rava says mikanu laba nifsal for one or two reasons. Either it's because it's a chiddush eid zaymim and ein lechabai el mishas chiddush of the elach, or because it's mishum pseida de lekuchos and the gemara gave two nafkaminas. Bottom line. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu midifti avad rapapi uvde kavazu de rav. My brother Ashi Yomar, Hilchus HaKavos HaDa Abaya, and boom, the Hilchus HaKavos HaDa Abaya, Yal Kagam, and this is one of the Yal Kagams, which one? It's the Ayin. The Ayin of Yal Kagam, Eid Zoymeim, L'mafreyu Nifsal, Mikanu Labo Nifsal, and the Gemara, without really explaining itself, like, Mechatesi, why should this be the way it is, says that this is the way it is. The Halacha is like Abaya, in this case, we paskin, Eid Zoymeim, L'mafreyahu Nifsal. We go right into the next. Mummer Oichel Nevelos L'teyavoin. What would be if there's a mummer who's Oichel Nevelos L'teyavoin? This is a guy who eats Nevelos L'treifas. But the reason he does it is L'teyavoin. He does it because it tastes very good, or better, because it's cheaper. So that's why this person is an Oichel Nevelos. Says the Gemara, Divrei Akol, Pasul. Everybody holds Pasul. This guy is going to be Pasul Eidus Lahachis. What if he's a Mummer that's Oichel Nevelos, but he does it not L'teyavoin, he does it Lahachis. I mean, he does it Pashe because he's angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abaya Amar Pasul, Rav Amar Kasha. Abaya says he's Pasul, Rav says he's Kasha. Abaya Amar Pasul, Abaya says he's Pasul, Davali Rasha, because he's a Rasha. V'Rachmana Amar, Al Toshes Rasha Eid. Again, doesn't say Al Toshes Rasha Eid, Al Toshes Yotche Im Rasha Liya Seid Chamas, but we pick and choose a few of those words, and we create this new love called Al Toshes Rasha Eid. Rav Amar Kasha. Rav says Kasha, because Rasha de Chamas Be'inon. Yeah, it says Altoshes Rasha Eid, but it says Altoshes Rasha Dechamos Eid. It says the word Chamos in the Pasuk also. And being that this person's not a Rasha Dechamos, he's going to be Kosh. In other words, what's the machlokes of Ayve Rava? Mumer Oichel Nevelis Lahachis. Kosh Leidus Apostle Leidus, where a person's a Rasha, he's a Mumer Oichel Nevelis Lahachis. Shein Himmel is a Rasha, he's like a Ferlich Rasha. But at the same time, he's doing it not Machmas Chamos. Not doing money. He's Poshit angry. And his way of releasing his frustration towards the creator of the world is by eating the vegetables. He knows Hashem doesn't want him to, and that's dafka why he's doing it. That's this guy's avoida. So this person, who's a mummer, that's oichel nevelos lahachis, according to Abaya's apostle is, according to Rabbi's kosh. Abaya says, why is he apostle is? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Toshis Rasha Eid. Ein locha Rasha Kizu. Abaya says, or Rava says, no. You have to be a Rasha de Chamas. You left out one word. So you have to be a Rasha Machmas Chamas, and being you have to be a Rasha Machmas Chamas, only then are going to be possible. Now what's the svar? What's the logic of having to be a Rasha Machmas Chamas? So Rashi speaks it out throughout the sugi. If you went through all the Rashis, you'd see it more than once. Rashi says, because Rava holds that the whole yisoid of why a Rasha is possible Eidos is because he's a Chashud. Now, to be a Chashud means you have to have proof that this person violated this or something very similar to this. A person that doesn't aveira machmas taivas mamin is a rasha d'chamas. As a result, he's chashud that maybe he would testify falsely for chamas, for money in return, right? The point is that you have to be a chashud for this inyan that we're now being chashud you for. So a mumer oichel nevelos hateyavlein, even though he never testified falsely, but you can draw the parallel between him and someone testifying falsely. Why? Because he does an Aveira because of Chemdas Mamin. As a result, he's Chashid. He may continue to do Aveiras. Machmas Chemdas Mamin. A Rasha that's Oichel Nevelos Lahachis, Ma'inyin Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. The two have nothing to do with each other. And as a result, if you're not a Chashid in this Indian, you're not going to be a Chashid for that. And there's a big Shail in the Achroinim, and really it comes from the Rishonim, that what's Pshan in Abai? So Rava, we said, is very logical, right? If you're chashud for this, so, okay, now we don't trust you. But if you're not chashed for this, make a teisi. Abaye says no. I don't care if you did this, you were shatnez, or you, whatever that veira is, you are a rasha. If you're a rasha, then all of a sudden you're going to be pasul leidos. Why? L'chura, what Rav is saying seems to be more logical. What Abaye is saying seems to be less logical. And just to appreciate the question a little bit better, the sugyas of chashed come up in different places in Shas, right? In the Shchita, in Mesachtes Chulin, in Mesachtes Bechoyres, Taflamet, that was what the Chassam Sofer mentioned, in Yenet Chuvah that we spoke of, in the Kovitz Chuvah, Semichafal, right? All that, this is something that comes up in many places. Here's the rule of thumb when it comes to a chashed. Chashed l'dabar echad, einoy chashed l'dabar echad. Right? Shnai moichs l'metalis. Migu du chashed amamoy, nechashed amyashvos, that's one of the places that comes up big time in Shas. So, chashed l'dabar echad is not a chashed l'dabar echad. So, shtotzich the frage, what's pshan in Abaye? Abaye holds a mumma oichon veis lahachis is posel eidus. You're not a chashed. How do I know you're not a chashed? Because chashed l'dabar echad, einoy chashed l'dabar echad. So, the ktsois in Simon Nun Beis and in Lamed Beis and in different places, the ktsois lays down the yisoid of Shitas Abaye. He said, Abaye knows that a chashed l'dabar echad, einoy chashed l'dabar echad. But Abaye holds his exeris akasib, it says in the Torah, Al Toshis Rosh Eid, a Rosh is possible Eidos. And Enochinam has nothing to do with Svara. And that is the side of the Machlokes Abaye v'Rava. According to Rava, a Rosh is only possible Eidos because he's a Chashud. Oh, you're only possible Eidos because you're a Chashud. So it has to be the same minion. Because Chashud Adavarecha, then you're Chashud Adavarecha. Whereas Abaye holds a Rosh is possible Eidos because it's a Xeris HaKosov that a Rosh is possible Eidos. So the minute you're a Rosh, you're possible. It's nothing to do with Chashud. It's a Xeris HaKosov. It's nothing to do with Chashud. It's nothing to do with Chashud. And the Ktsoi says that really it's muchach that way in Shitas Abaye, because you see, Abaye holds that the only time that your pasul eidos is if it's a chashud on a loisase, and even then it has to be a loisase sheyesh by malchus. Right? There's like a lot of nitty gritty laws when it comes to understanding what makes somebody a rasha. If we're dining hilchis chashud, who cares, right? Why should it matter? The teretz is it's not about chashud, and the truth is when it comes to chashud mitaka, don't care. For example, someone that does business on shvius. That person is chashud. If it's shvius bizmana who, he would be chashud midai raisa. Why? Shvius l'chayra is only an aseh, right? One of the iser aseh's in Shas is l'achla v'loy l'schayra, to do business on shvius, right? Lavdavke, he was planned, he's seichari shvius. That's what he was doing in the Mishnah. And he's pasal midai raisa. The teretz is because he's a chashud. When you're a chashud, you're technically going to be pasal midai raisa. But when it's a mumma eichel neveil sahachas, but you're not a chashud, and you only pasal out to Rasha, so now we have to define the term Rasha. You want to know what a Rasha is? It has to be a lois aseh, it has to be malchus maybe, etc., etc. This is the aside. According to Rava, Rasha the Chamas, you only pasal this when you're a chashud. According to Abaye, you're pasal machmas the gzeres hakasov, because at the end of the day, you are a Rasha regardless. So again, Abaye holds that a mumma oichel nevelus lahachas is pasal. Rava says he's kosher. The Gemara seemed to say that really it's totally in how you read the pasuk. Is it altoshes Rasha eid, or is altoshes Rasha the chamas eid? Zok the Gemara may fail. Ask you a kasha from a brayse. Altoshes Rasha eid, altoshes chamas eid. Elu gazlanim. It's referring to gazlanim umayalim b'shvuos. It's talking about people that are gazlanim or people that they violate shvuos. I laugh when we say shvuos. Doesn't it mean echad shvuos shav? The echad shvuos mamon. Meaning, even if it's not Shavuos Mamon, even if it's Shavuos Shav, it sounds like the person's going to be Pasul Eidos. What do you see from there? That anytime a person does an Aveira, even if it's Shavuos Shav, it has no Shaychis to Mamon, so he's going to be Pasul Eidos. The Gemara says, Lo, Idi Shavuos Mamon, that the Shavuos are both referring to Shavuos Mamon. Umay Shavuos, what's the Lashon of Shavuos? Shavuos Dahamo, there's so many different types of Shavuos Mamons, right? Whatever. But the point is that if a person is guilty of Shavuos Mamon, it could be then and only then, meaning you have no Raya from this Braisa to Abaya, could be the Shavuos means all Shavuos related to Mamon. Meisve, another kasha from another Braisa. Altoshes Rosh Eid, Altoshes Chomos Eid, Ebu Gazlonim, Umalve Beribiyos. Gazlanim alva ribiyos, who's this a raya to? It's a raya to Rava, it's a kasha on Abaye, zokti gemara. Immediately, these are short sugyas. Tufta de Abaye tufta. Wow, right away. We don't even give Abaye a chance to respond. Immediately, canceled. Tufta de Abaye tufta. This is the biggest raya of zokti gemara, name it tanoi. At first glance, it would seem that maybe this machloikis, Abaye v'rov, is really a machloikis tanoi. What's this machloikis tanoi? It's a toisefta in the first parak of Masechtas Makkot. Eid Zoymen, Pasol Chalot Erekul Divir Rameir. Rameir says that an Eid Zoymen is Pasol L'Chalot Erekul. Once somebody's found to be an Eid Zoymen, doesn't matter what kind of Eidus he had testified. If he was found, if you said Eidus and then somebody else came and said, Imanu Ayisim, I'm not complaining, you're out. You can never say Eidus again. Rabbi Yosef says it's not so simple. But Medvar Mamurim, Shehuza Medina Nefashis. If someone was an Eid Zoyme for Dine Nefashis, now he's possible for all Eidus. Aval Huzam Medina Mamunis, Koshal Medina Nefashis. Why? Because just because you were found guilty of lying, Adina Mamunis, doesn't mean you're going to kill somebody that doesn't deserve to die. So according to Rameyer, Eid Zoyme, I don't care what type of Eidus it is, Possel, Lechola Terakula, I don't care what type of Eidus it is. Once you're an Eid Zoyme for anything, you're possible for everything. Rabbi Yosi says, no, you have to look at the specifics. If someone is an Eid Zoymer for a Dover that's more kuladik, it's not going to make him a choshu now and possible Eidus for something that's more chomer. So the Gemara says, name, at first glance, it would seem that Abaye Kirab Meir, Virava Kirab Yosi. Isn't this Mamish the Machlik Zabaye Virava? Okay, so the Gemara helps us. Usually we need Rashi to help us, but here the Gemara felt that it needed to help us, because at first glance, what shaykhas? So the Gemara says, Abaye ki Rameyer. Abaye holds like Rameyer, the Amma Amrinon, Mikula Luchumra. Abaye holds like Rameyer, that you go Mikula Luchumra. The Gemara's understanding that a Mumra Eichel Meir Slahachas is a Kula. To go testify against somebody falsely in court is a Chumra. And the reason is, because a Mumra Eichel Meir Slahachas is doing an Avera, Beinoi, Levein Hamakim. But when a person testifies falsely about somebody, it's Beinoi Levein Hamakim, but it's also Beinoi Levein Chaveru. It's both. And as a result, to tell me that one is going to be a problem for the other is a raya that you're going Mikula Luchumra. Oh, so that's Rameyer, right? Rameyer says that if you're Chosh and you're found to be an Eidzoyim in Vedinim Momenis, you're going to be disqualified for Dinim Nefashim. For Rabba, Domek Rabbi Yosi. And Rabba probably holds like Rabbi Yosi. The Amaru holds, Mikumra Lukula Amrinon, Mikula Luchumra Layamrinon. So you see that Rabbi Yosi already says, no, you don't go Mikula Luchumra. So there goes Tomorrow. At first glance, name it Katanoi, that Abai is Rameyer, whereas Rabba's Rabbi Yosi tomorrow says, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosi Kulamadoi Pligi. Could be. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosi. There's no machlekes. Meaning, Rabbi Yosi who holds you don't go mikula lechumra. It's poshet. You can't have a shitas abaye. Abaye can't stim with Rabbi Yosi. Keep pligi. What's the machlekes? I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. The machlekes is I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Abaye Rabbi Meir. Abaye holds Rabbi Meir. Meaning, Rabbi Meir says you go mikula lechumra. Abaye says I also you go mikula lechumra. The Rav is going to tell you. Atkam lechumra Rabbi Hosam el gabi eid zoymim the mamoim the rolish shamayim v'ral abrius. That it's true. You see from Rabbi Meir that there's a concept of going mikula lechumra. But at the very least, in the case of the Eid Zoymim, he went Mikula, but his Kula was something that was a problem Bein Adam LaMakim and Bein Adam LaChaveira. So now he's a Chashid for another thing that's Bein Adam LaMakim and Adam LaChaveira, although the other thing is more Chomer, because one is Dine Mamadis and the other one is Dine Nefashis. Aval Hoch over here, the Ralish Shemai Vein Ralo Brias. The Mumar Chaveiras Lahachis never did anything Bein Adam LaChaveira. So Mehecha Tesi is Chashid on Bein Adam LaChaveira. Law, you would think not, and it's for that reason. So the Gemara, there's no hechrich that the machlokes is Abaye v'Rav is really the machlokes remain Rabbi Yosi. It's interesting. From this Gemara, you see that Ben Adam Chaver is suddenly more chomer than Ben Adam Lamakim, right? That's like the pasha to the Gemara. But either way, Zok the Gemara. So again, we had the machlokes Abaye v'Rav. The Gemara brought a brisa first that asked the kasha on Rav. The Gemara deflected it. Then the Gemara brought a brisa that asked the kasha on Abaye, and the Gemara immediately just jumped at it. Took the bait and said, Tufta da Abaye Tufta. Then the Gemara said, Nevi Ketanoi. Maybe the machloik is between Abaye, Rav is real, and machloik is Ramei Rabbi Yosi. Gemara said, it's true. You see from that braisa, Oshitas Rabbi Yosi, that can't work with Abaye, but as it relates to saying that Rameyer is Abaye and Rav is Rabbi Yosi, it's not Mukhach, because Rav could always tell you that Rabbi Yosi is the biggest raya to me, but I could even work in Rameyer. Abaye could say that, Fakir, I'm coming for Rameyer. Bottom line, Zok the Gemara, Behilchasa, Kavasi da Abaye. After all this, you want to know who we paskin like? We paskin like Abaye. Frank the Gemara, if you're following the paper trail, Vayitoisif, didn't we just frag up Abaye? And for the Gemara, you Rabbi Yosi, Gevaldik. No, that's right. We just said that we know there's a sheet that's Rabbi Yosi out there that doesn't stim with Abaye. Nochem. Abaye, when he says that a mumma oichon veil slahachis, it's possible Eidus, he's saying a chiddish, he's saying that even though you're a chashit for something less, but doesn't. And we're still suspect that maybe you're going to do something that's more. In Rabbi Yosi, you seem a furish not that way. Because Rabbi Yosi says that an Eid Zoymim for Mominus doesn't become possible for Nefashas. And Abaye conceded. I know there's no way in the world to reconcile Malachita with Rabbi Yosi. So, Freks Mechakashi, you have a Brisa not like me, I'm Rabbi Yosi. But the Gemara asks a good follow-up question. Vitahavan, I'm Rabbi Yosi. Zolzain, it's Rabbi Yosi. Oberameh, Rabbi Yosi. Halachic Rabbi Yosi. This is Kloliaps. Shas and Klali Apsak 101. Everybody knows this. The Machlokes Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, Machlokes Rameir and Rabbi Yosi, and really for the most part, Machlokes Rameir and anybody. The Machlokes is usually not like Rameir. Abba Rameir for Rabbi Yosi, that Machlokes be Rabbi Yosi. So at the end of the day, if we know that Abaye could only shtim in Rameir, and Rabbi Yosi has no way of shtimming, so how could we pass like Abaye? Based on the rule of Rameh, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, the halacha has to be like, forget about the Braisa. The Braisa is not a kasha, because the Bai could always tell you that Braisa is, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosef. The Seder, Aber Lididan, when we analyze this now from a Poisik's perspective, the way the Ga'inim and the Rishonim learn Gemara, we have to figure out based on the Klalim that we know what the halacha is, right? So, L'chur, the halacha should for sure be like Rava, because Rava has Rabbi Yosef on his side. But the Gemara Sanshani Hasim, this is different. The Sasa Montana Kirameir, because although it's true, it's a machlokes Rameir Rabbi Yosef, that's what's coming out. But at the same time, there's also a Stam Mishnah like Rameir. And being that there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameir, this is different. Here, the halacha could be like Rameir. Where do you find that there was a Stam Mishnah like Rameir? So the Gemara is going to tell us a story that's going to take us till the end of the daf. Kihad Bar Chama, Katal Nafsha. Bar Chama killed somebody. Okay. I'm the Reish Kalusa, the Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. So the Reish Kalusa told Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Puk Ayin Ba, Yivadai Kotel, if it's really true that he killed somebody, meaning he was suspected of killing somebody, then Lich Yehuhu Le'enei. So they weren't giving capital punishment, but at the same time, we're going to take away his eyesight. Also, Trey Sahadi, Asidu Be Devadai Kotel. Two of them walked in the bezel and they said, yeah, Bar Chama really killed somebody. Ozal Iyu, so Bar Chama went, and he's trying to save his wife. Aisin Trey Sahadi, he found two of them. Asidu be bechad mehanach, and the two edim both were made on one of the two edim that were implicating him. Chad Amar, one of the two edim, again, that was being made on one of the edim that was implicating him, said, Kamoy didi gon of kaba duchushla. I saw this person steal some soirim. The Chad Amar, the other one, said, Kamoy didi gon of kata de burti. I saw him steal the case where you put the roimach, where you put the spear. In other words, Bar Chama was able to find two edim that we're going to knock out one of the two Edim that we're implicating him, which means you only have an Edim Echad now, and Apishnai made him Yochum Dover, and as a result, he's going to be off the hook. Amalei, something Gemara says, he told him, I daitech kira meyer, meaning, what are you thinking? You're thinking now that these people should be postulators. Why? Because they're Gazlanim. Therefore, they should be postulators to say that you're a Reitzech, because maybe they're lying falsely. That would only be true Aliba de Rameyer. Why would that be true? I'll leave it to Rameir, because Rameir is the one that said that an eid zoyma for dine mominus is possible aidus for dine nefashis. But what did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you're a chashin on mominus, doesn't mean you're a chashin on nefashis. So he said, basically, you mean Rameir. So he tells him, Rameir, Rabbi Yossi, halachik Rabbi Yossi. And okay, for Rabbi Yossi, ha'amai, what did Rabbi Yossi say? Who's a bedine mominus? Chashin with dine nefashis. So this is all going on in Bezdin. This is the Maisa with Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, and this is what he's presiding over. So the Gemara says, Rapapi was there. Amalei, Rapapi told him, he says, one second. Before you go ahead and you say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yosef in this case, you have to know, Hanibili Bili Heichet Lo Yisasam Tanak Rameh. Rameh, Rabbi Yosef, Halacha, Rabbi Yosef, but that's only if there's no Stam Mishle like Rameh. Abba Hacha, Hasasam Tanak Rameh. But over here, there's a Stam Mishle like Rameh. And being that there's a Stam Mishle like Rameh, this is already going to be different. So the Gemara says, Mimai, where's the Stam Mishle like Rameh? So if you're following the paper trail, there's a lot of trails in today's daf. But if you're following the paper trail, essentially what happened was, right, the Gemara said that the reason Abaya is not upgefrekt, and the reason we paskin like Abaya, in fact, this goes down, one of the Al-Kagans, is because that Braisa that was a problem was Rabbi Yosef. But the Gemara said, one second, Zolzayin, it's Rabbi Yosef. If Abaya and Rava really told me Rameh and Rabbi Yosef, we know the rules, you always pass like Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara says, not when there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameh. Okay, so the Mar says, where's the Stam Mishnah? The Mar says, let me tell you a story. So he told us the story, and what emerged from the story was the same exact story. Where a Papi Paskin like Rameir, not like Rabbi Yossi, which is the equivalent of Paskin like Abaya, not like Rava, even though Rameir, Rabbi Yossi, and Lach Rabbi Yossi, because here there's a Stam Mishnah. But again, we're back to where we started. It was a nice story. The Gemara is going to wrap up the story at the end, but at the end of the day, we still don't know where is this Stam Mishnah. Right now, we know it's Machlis Rameh Rabbi Yosi, and the rule of thumb always is that halacha has to be like Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says like this: Ilei mimehad etnan. Is it the following Mishnah? Klaroi laden dinei nefashos, roi laden dinei maminis. Any person that can paskin dine nefashis can paskin dine maminis. Meaning, it sounds like the threshold for dine maminis and dine nefashis is the same thing. So the Gemara says like this, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Ilemi Rabbi Yosi. Is it Rabbi Yosi? It's not true. Ha'iko eid zoyim in the manim. You have an eid zoyim in the manim. The kosher l'dine nefashnois u'pasol l'dine maminis. An eid zoyim in the manim becomes pasol for dine maminis, but he's still kosher for dine nefashnois because he's not kosher for the more chamardiga thing. So it's not a true statement. Kol ha'roi ladun dine nefashnois, roi ladun dine maminis.
because there's a discrepancy. Someone that's chashid v'dinei mamonis, who's not chashid v'dinei nevashos. El Avraham Meir, oh, must be Avraham Meir. So you have a snap mishnah like Shitas Avraham Meir, but the Gemara says mimai. Dilma b'psule yuchsin koy. Maybe that mishnah is talking about a whole different inyan. Maybe the mishnah is talking about yichos. So in order to be a dayan, you had to have a certain yichos. Ayin Rashi. So could be what we're discussing is what's the level, the threshold of yichos you have to have in order to be a judge. Kol aroy ladin dinei nefashos, roy ladin dinei mamonis. But we don't mean in mitzad psulim in terms of if you're a mesachik pekuvia, etc., etc. Could be when it comes to that, not. And if someone that's an eitzoymel mamonis will be Pasul in Mamanis, but Kashul in Nefashis. This is not addressing Bechlal, the Sugi of Ramei, Rabbi Yossi. And as a result, it has nothing to do with this. Eloi Teimachi, the Gemara says. And if you're going to even try to actions of and saying that, no, the Mishnah doesn't mean Yochsen, I'll prove it to you. Diktani, look at the Sefer. The Sefer says, Yesh Roi Ladin Dine Mamanis, the Ein Roi Ladin Dine Nefashis. It's possible for someone to be Roi Ladin Dine Mamanis and not Roi Ladin Nefashis. Meaning it's possible that you're puzzle for dinei nefashis, but you're kosher for dinei mamonis. That's counterintuitive. Am I in a roy? Right? How is that even possible? The itzim b'dinei nefashis, roy ladin dinei mamonis, but divrei akol puzzle. Right? What would be the case? It's impossible because the shaila always is when you're going mikula l'chumra, but this is mikhumra l'kula. How could it be that you're not roy for dinei nefashis, but you are roy for dinei mamonis? Zok di gemara, elo b'psul yuchsin koi, must be that the sefer, the mishnah is talking about psul yuchsin, I'm going to have psul yuchsin koi, must be that's what's going on over here in the sefer. Zok di gemara, so that can't be the stam mishnah. What is the stam mishnah? Elo, hacha kazasa lantana. I'll tell you, I'll find you a stam mishnah somewhere else. Tanah, we learned in a mishnah. And where is this mishnah? So it's our mishnah, at least it's going to sound like our mishnah, but really from the end of it, you'll see it's not our mishnah. There's a very, very similar to our mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph, and that's really the mishnah it's referring to. Elu hein apsulim, ha-mesachik b'kuvya, u-malvi b'ribis, u-mafriche yoinim, v'soichre shviyis, v'ho-avodim. Zeh ha-klal, kol edus she'eino isha k'sheira lo, af hein en k'sheira lo. Any edus that a woman is not kosher to testify, all these people are not kosher to testify either. Meaning all the people mentioned in our mishnah that are possible edus, apostle to say edus anytime a woman would be apostle edus. So we know a woman is typically apostle edus, but there are times that a woman is actually kosher edus, such as edus isha. And the Mishnah is essentially saying that anytime an isha is kosher to say edus, they will be kosher as well. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Ilemi Rabbi Yossi. Are you going to tell me it's Rabbi Yossi? It's not a true statement. Why? Because va'iko edus bedine nefashis. You have edus of dine nefashis. She'ein ho isha ksherila. That the ish is not kosher, they're hang ksheira lo, and they're going to be kosher. Because they're all kosher for dinei mamonis, which according to Rabbi Yosef doesn't make you kosher on dinei nefashis. El Avraham Meir, must be it's Avraham Meir. So he said, you want to know what the Stam Mishnah of Avraham Meir is? It's our Mishnah, or really the other version of our Mishnah, the one in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says, after this whole thing happened, Rapapi somehow was able to vindicate Bar Chama. So Bar Chama realized that he was off the hook. Come Bar Chama, he got up, Nashke Akare, he kissed Rav Papi on his feet, v'kabli l'kargi d'kula shnei, and he made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. He said, I'm willing to cover your taxes for the rest of your life. So Rav Papi, with this psak, won for life, and like this, mamish l'oilam vod, he had all his tax bills covered for the Rishonim. Talking about why is that not shoychad? Because it was after the fact, but shoychad ma'ocha is also a problem. But regardless, I'm Rishonim. But either way, this is the end of this story. Just two postscripts to this that I think are worth mentioning. It's number one, so the Gemara says something interesting, that even though Rameh and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi, but this is different, because here there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameh. So the truth is that, if you think about it, it's a little bit Tzarech Bir, right? Because we know we never pass like Rameh. We never pass like Rameh. You have a right to say that? The Gemara says it. Erevin Yugimel Amud Beis. The Gemara said that there was no one in the entire generation like Rameh, but because Rameh was so great, and he knew how to be Matayr Tmei and be Matamah Tayrim, so therefore no one was able to be Omer Al-Soif Daita, similar to Beis Shammai, and therefore we never pass like Rameh. Yet, we know one of the principles in Shas is Halacha Kistam Mishnah, and Stam Mishnah is always Rameh, right? How do you reconcile that? Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, not Rameh. Forget Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rameh, right? That's mamash what it is. It's not Rameh. Rameh Rabbi Yossi, it's not like Rameh. Yet, Stam Mishnah, we know is Rameh. But I think the Teretz is Pashit, because Stam Mishnah is Rameh, Alibit Rabbi Akiva. It's poshut. It's poshut. It's an amaratz shakasha, because we know that really kulan alibet Rabbi Akiva Chazal say. So all the mishnayos, when you learn a mishnah, you learn Rameir. You learn Rabbi Akiva. Rameir is a talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rameir is transmitting Rabbi Akiva's Torah, just like Rabbi Yossi did, and Rabbi Yehuda did, and Rabbi Nechemya did, and Rabbi Elazar did, and all the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did, all the great talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Now, why was Rameir zoicha that it was his mishnah oh, that's the Chassam Sofer we spoke about recently, and that's the Gesher of Shir Gayin. We've spoken about this so many times. But again, this is mamish learning Mishnayos and Talmud Bavli. The first day you learn in Cheder, you should be taught this. Right? This is Aleph Beis. But when you learn Mishnayos and when you hear Stam Mishnah the Rabbi Meir, it's not Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a whole different Indian. It's probably the oimik of this Gemara. It's here. It's Sasam on Masnis and Kira Meir, which means it's not really Rabbi Meir Shita. This Rameyer, usually Rameyer is Rameyer, but there Rameyer is an under Rameyer, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is all different sugya. I think it's Emes, right? It's Pasha. I didn't really get a chance to look around too much, but I think it's an Emes Azach. I think the reason Halacha Kistam Mishnah, even though we usually don't pass like Rameyer, is because when we talk about Rameyer, what we really mean is Rabbi Akiva. That's the first thing worth mentioning. The second aura worth mentioning, this is the calm before the storm, and that is that, you know, we've spoken about the Yal Kagam also, Baruch Hashem, so many times over the years, specifically the Noitbi Yehuda, who in his drushes used to darshan about the Yal Kagam. Right? So Noitbi Yehuda had drushes that he used to give Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Hagadol, and he would start it like in 1752 and it would end in 1756. Literally. So you have to be a halting cup. I don't know how anyone understood these Shuvahs, right? We always say that the Noitbi Yehuda used to give these drushes, then afterwards he would give them to Chacha, no one's learning. I said, if no one's learning, who is following these Shuvahs and these drushes? I guess the threshold of learning then was different than what it is today. Abel Amaisa, a lot of his drushes were rooted in the Yal Kagans. And in the beginning of Drush Shloisha Osar in Derush Letzion, so he makes a very interesting observation, and it just jumped off the page. That's the only reason I'm mentioning it now. It's that we pass in six times like Abaya, right? Every machlik is Abaya v'Rava, the halach is like Rava. Six times we pass in like Abaya. And the Rebbe says that if you go through the six sugyas, it's not even clear so much why we're passing like Rava in those six places. He says, of the six, there's only two times that the Gemara says, Tufta de Rava Tufta. In fact, the Rebbe even throws in one of the places that we pass like Abaya, the Gemara even said, Tufta de Abaya Tufta. And then the Gemara said, Hilchas Gemara said, Abaya, and we sort of rationalize how the halacha ends up being like Abaya. Right, look at the two that we learned here. Itzayim elam afreya, itzayim elkanu laba. So the Gemara brought, mamash, the whole sugi is 10 lines. Amri Rabbi Yirmiyah Mardifti, Avdi Rapapi, Uvdi Gavasi de Rava, Marbar Avashin, Amri Hilchas Gavasi de Abaya. Hilchas Gavasi de Abaya. Why? When? Where? Mechatesi. Usually there's an avodah, a struggle of figuring it out. Okay, the Gemara said it, it's game over. But at the same time, you would expect it to be a little bit more evidence of why this should be the case. And if the rule is usually you pass on like Rava, you can't just say Hilchas HaGavaseh Da'abaya, Mechatei. And the next Gemara, it's worse. The Gemara says Tufta Da'abaya. So why? So Rebbe Yehuda says, oh, whole Chiddush, this was this five-year-long drasha that Rebbe Yehuda gave, which was basically that the reason we pass on like Abaya in all six cases, it's based on those two Tuftas. There are two times when the Gemara came out, Tufta Da'abaya, Tufta, and Rebbe Yehuda made a cheshbin that one beget the other, and it forced the other, so they're all Tali Zebizah. As if Yishalei Midas is Tali in Eitzayim L'mafreya, which is Tali in Mumma Eichel Ve'el Sahachas, which is Tali in Lechad Oim Me'ela, Kiddush Jain B'Sinu, Ayin Sham, it's brilliant, Goynes, it's impossible to follow, but there's like some major Cheshbainas going on over there, regardless. As it relates to Raid, so we just finished the sugya that really started with the Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet Amid Beis, it's a full three blot, and it began with the Psulei Eidos, the Elohein Psulim, and the first one of the Psulim that are mentioned is Hamesachek Bekuvia. So, just to do something a little out of the box, a little bit interesting on the topic of Mesachek Bekuvia. So there was a Yid who lived in Venice in the late 1500s and early 1600s. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Mimodena, or Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Modena. So Modena is a region in Italy. This Yid, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh, his family, his ancestors had come from Modena. He himself, although he was known as Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Mimodena, actually did not live in Modena. He lived in Venice. That's where he lived his entire life. Just to give it a little bit of historical perspective, he was born in the year 1571, and he passed away in the year 1648, in the year Tach, of Tach the Tat fame. But this Yid, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Mimodena, was a great Goyen. He was a great Baal Darshan. He was also a prolific author. In fact, he wrote close to 30 svarim. And some of the svarim we have today, most of them are still a manuscript, but he was very, very famous, a great Venetian rabbi One of the Sfarim that he wrote was a Sefer called Sur Meira. Now, how do I know about the Sefer Sur Meira? So I have to thank Nachum Weinstein for coming up with this idea. I think you're the only person that knew this Sefer existed, till now. And really, it's a fascinating Sefer. The Sefer was written by Rabbi Yehuda Arya Modena when he was 13 years old. It's a fictional tale. It's mamish mind-boggling if you go through it. And it's a story about gambling. So the story begins as follows. There were two friends. They were best friends. One's friend's name was Eldad, and the other's friend's name was Medad. He starts off in the Sharblad. Eldad u'Medad misfakhim b'machna. So Eldad and Medad are best friends, and he describes their friendship. They literally were friends. Kahavas David v'yoynasa. Either way, one day, Eldad sees his friend Medad, and something doesn't look right. He's not as happy. Something's bothering him. But he let it go. Time passes again. He sees something is not right. He started hearing rumors that his friend Medad had met a new group of friends, and these guys would get together and they would gamble. And he realized that obviously this is what's on Medad's mind. And he waited for the opportunity, and he approaches him and he says, "My entire balipta chavri, my yedid nefesh, Medad, I'm hearing rumors that you're up to some no good things. I think we should talk about it a little bit. I think this is a very big mistake." And Medad turns to Eldad and he says, "It's true, everything that you're hearing, but I don't think there's anything to talk about. I have a right to spend my spare time however I want to spend it. And, you know, we're friends, but, you know, mind your own business and let me do my thing." Eldad was a little taken aback, but he felt that, "Nah, I have to stop Medad. He's my best friend, and he's going down a path that can lead him mamish to Sha'ol Tachtis. I have to stop him in his tracks." And finally comes to Medad, and he says, "Medad, you owe it to me. We're friends. Look me in the eye. I want to have this conversation with you. What have you been up to? Talk to me a little bit about it. I know you since you're a little child, and you're much better than this. Explain to me what's going on." And Eldad and Medad start having this vikuach. And they start having this conversation, and this conversation is what Rabbi Yehuda Arya Mimodena wrote in this book, Surma. He's 13 years old when he writes this, and it's really going through the vices and the virtues, the pros and the cons of gambling. See, he makes the best case for it, and I guess the best case against it. So just to read a few excerpts of how this played itself out. Medad's first argument to Eldad was, "I understand that gambling at its surface is a bad thing. I mean, it's a colossal waste of time. It involves chemdes mamon, right? It involves a lot of things that really people shouldn't engage in." He said, "But let's be honest, doesn't all business involve that? I mean, there's certain people that have professions, maybe doctors, where they're helping people, they're making the world a better place. But a person that wakes up in the morning and goes to sleep at night thinking about how I'm going to make more money and how I'm going to become aggressive and gvir, so he's also wasting his time. He's also taking all his life force and investing it in things that are very, very superficial, which is exactly what I'm doing. So it's true. I understand it's maybe not the greatest thing in the world. But at the same time, I view this as a parnosa. It's an honest way to make a living. I don't cheat when I gamble, right? So as long as I'm doing it in the erlicha way, I understand what the big deal is." And he said it's even more than that. He says, "You know, when it comes to parnosa, one of the big struggles is you have to have betachin. You have to believe that your parnosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." He says, "Gambling..." He says, "When it comes to this, this is doch the greatest zach was kommt von der Ebeshter." I'll just read it a little bit. He says, "V'alma yitztak ma'mor ze yelchu v'yisparnus v'zem mize k'moy al choykatz choyk rochuk mi'ovel chamas." He said, "To me, most businesses, when you're a businessman, there's so many opportunities to steal and to be not erloch. When it comes to gambling, how could you steal? Yeah, there's certain geniuses, they know how to beat the house, right? But most mortals don't know how to do that. And as a result, it's actually more honest." He says, "I see much less gzela, I see much less chomus in gambling than I see with people that are doing business." He said, "Not just that." He says, "We know that geirolois come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Listen to this line. He says, "Kashereinu hayoyse l'rotzin lefnei adon ko, kishaseder ba'avoydas hayem HaKadosh." What happened with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? He had to determine which one of the goats was going to go Lashem and which one was going to go Lazazel. What did he do? He rolled the dice. He made a girl, right? That's how he figured it out. He said, "When Yeshua ben Nun had to divide the land amongst the Jews, how did he do it? He did it with a girl." He said, "David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom said, Hashem menos chalki, v'koisi ato toimich gairoli, u'benoy achacham." And Shlomo HaMelech said the same thing. He said, "Medonim yashbes ha-gairol." He said, "This is all This is all me Hashem. Fakert. I believe Parnas is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that the Geirul comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'm doing is exactly what the Kohen Gadol did. Yom Kippur, on the holiest day, when it came to the Tzar Hashem and the Tzar Azazel, which ultimately determined the entire fate of the Jewish people. He says, why am I doing anything different than Yeshua Benun, Allah's a Kohen Gadol? When the Pasuk says, Ach Begadol, Yechalik Aris. He said, Dovin HaMelech and Shloima HaMelech. They talked about the virtues of the Geirul. So, fakert, I understand that my parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm doing something that the Torah ahead you told us is 100% al pi Hashem. So Eldad hears Melk made that out, and he tells him, he said, seriously, he says, there's a very, very fundamental difference between the way you're doing business, which is gambling, and the way regular people do business. He said, the difference is, he says, when you have a businessman, so you have a buyer and a seller. So the buyer usually feels like he got the good end of the deal, and the seller feels like he got a good end of the deal. Right? You go to any business transaction, you want to buy, he wants to sell, it's perfect. You have a need, he's fulfilling a need. That's how the world goes around. That's the cheshbon. He says, when you make money sitting at the gambling table, right? So you're happy, your face is glowing. He said, what about the other guy? You're making a parnosa on Yenim's cheshbon. It's a disgusting way of making a living. So he said, there's a fundamental flaw in your argument. He said, when the Eibishter said, he didn't mean you go make parnosa on Yenim's back. He meant you to do it in a way where everybody is sort of going to be doing well. So Meida turns to Eldar. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, let me ask you a question. If somebody owns a vineyard, he produces wine. You don't think when he davens Shmoneh Esrei and he says Baruch Aleinu, he's davening that his wine should come out great and Yenim's wine should be terrible? Of course, that's what's going through his mind. He said, this is the way people are. Of course, if I have a business and I have a competitor, so what is my tefillah for Parnassah? That I should get the business, which is coming at whose expense? It's coming at my competitor's expense. Right? Anytime you daven for your atzlocha, to the extent you have competition, you're trying to get a deal. That means the enemy's going to lose it, right? By definition, that's the way it is. So he says, how could you tell me that by gambling, you're making parnasa off your... Every business is like that. He says, I agree with you. It's disgusting. But what do you want me to tell you? The Eibishter created the world. This is the way it's supposed to be. Either way, they go back and forth. And at the end, Eldad tells Meidad, he says, listen, I hear what you're saying, but can you at least agree with me this is a lousy form of parnasa? He said, because most people that gamble, at the end of the day, they lose, right? So good. You want to tell me that al pi ha-goyrol, that there's a certain element of betochen that you have over here? I hear. It doesn't bother you so much that your winnings is coming on Yenim's losses, because if you think about it, if you think about it honestly, could be every time you make parnasa on some level, this is the way it is. But at least be honest with me that people always lose. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, maybe I'm new to this game, but at the same time, I don't know. I see people win. I see people doing well. And then he tells him like this. He tells him, you know, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, that Mishen Niach Le'Aviv Mois V'Roitzel Avdon. If somebody gets a Yerusha and he wants to lose his money, so what should he do? Yilbash Big Day Pishton. He should start wearing Big Day Pishton. V'Yishtamish B'Klei Schuches. V'Yizkor Poyalim V'Yeshev Imohem. So he tells him, Eldad, V'Lu Hoyo Kidvarecho Had Tzchoik. Tzchoik means gambling. If gambling is as bad as what you're saying, that it's a dover karev lavoid, then you know what the Gemara should have said? Mishen Niach Le'Aviv Mois V'Roitzel La'Avdam Yelech V'Yitzchoik. He should go gamble the money away. Didn't say that. Vaistoy's gambling is not as bad as what you're making it out to be. Because I never found the Gemara. The Gemara gives other ways where you can fapachka your money. The Torah says, maybe you win, maybe you're going to lose. But there's no guarantee you're going to lose your money. Because if there was a guarantee you're going to lose your money, the Gemara would have said it over there. But the bottom line is, they went back and forth. Then Elder comes to Meidud, and he tells him something else. He says, you know, I was thinking about it. He said that when a person gambles, he violates all of the Ten Commandments. He says, all of the Aseres HaDibros, he violates. He says, okay, I'm listening, Eldad. Explain to me, how exactly are you over all Aseres HaDibros? So he says, Anoichi v'lo yilucha, right at the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros, talks about Avodah Zarah. He says, you ever see a gambler, they get so angry? And the Gemara says, Kol HaKoyes, kilu oivin Avodah Zarah. Lo'isiso Hashem Hashem. He says, you ever see the swearing that goes on when people are gambling? This is the way it is. Zocher siyem HaShabbos l'katshoy. I've seen people gamble Erev Shabbos, it comes bein HaShmoshes, and you're middle playing something, right? And all of a sudden, you can't stop, because what are you going to do? You can't leave You can't leave your chips on the table, right? So you end up violating Shabbos. Kabbalah Savicha. So what's going to happen when your father finds out that you're gambling right now? You think he's going to be happy? He's not going to be happy. You're going to disgrace your father. He said, I've seen that there are noshim that sit by these gambling tables. It comes with a niyuf. And sometimes you get so angry that you manage it could come with a ritzicha. And with sachmai, this whole thing is all about taivis mamon. So in lechalei sachmai gedoy lemizu. And he goes, he gives him this whole shmuz, and he tells him, I'm telling you, over all 10 commandments. So Meida turns to Elder, he says, by the way, Elder, I'm masking. He said, but I think everything that you said is true for every businessman. He says, I don't know, I see businessmen, they're about to lose money, they're kolakoyas. He says, every business dealing I've been involved in, there's always swearing going on. Alamaisis, all the milas that you're telling me right now, it's always true. He says, I'll tell you a story. Bro, you see, Yoim Esmol, just yesterday, Adam Echad, Asha Abad, Arbe Meir Zehuvim. He was sitting at the table and he lost 400 zehuvim. Ubechol zois loy pasach es piu for like kilos yoimai. He didn't say one bad word. Rak pam achas omar ata Hashem atzadik. He remembers he opened up a chayvus havavis and he says ata Hashem atzadik. It's unbelievable. He says, but I'll tell you, I know another guy. I have a lot of friends. Vegam yikarti ish asher shama ki bought tefuah bezol. This guy was a regular businessman and he heard that the commodities, the tefuah came in a little cheap. Vehu ha yosoicher dogem etirish. This guy was a big soicher. Ve'olah l'roish agag ve'nafal umeis. He says, so you tell me, this guy was a businessman and he couldn't control his cash. And this person was a gambler. And fakert, he was earning an honest living. So he says, I hear what you're saying, but explain to me why gambling is worse than business. Meaning, there's merit to everything. But this is the way it is. The Sefer continues. The whole Sefer is 40 pages, by the way. The Sefer continues. And then Eldad pulls out the card that everyone knows he's going to pull out. Right? Pun intended, by the way. So what is the ultimate argument when it comes to this type of shayla? Meidot. Don't you know it's a Mishnah? It's a Mishnah, Perek Zabar, Mesech to Sanhedrin. Davchav Dalin on the days. The Mishnah says, Ve'elein Apsulin, HaMesachik Bekuvio. We know that a Mesachik Bekuvio is Pasul Eidos. Okay, so what's the Kasha? The Kasha is because the Ram in Perek Vav Hilchas Gzeilav Aveido. And the Ram also in Hilchas Eidos says that the reason a Mesachik Bekuvio is Pasul Eidos is because he's a Gazlan. Now, he's a Gazlan to Devrayim. He's only a Gazlan to Rabbanon. But the Ramam says he's a Gazlan. So if the Ramam says he's a Gazlan, and the Tur Paskins, and the Mechaber Paskins, so it's Halach and Shulchan Aruch that a Mesachik Bekuvio is a Gazlan. Which means you can't do it. Because what you're engaging is, you're engaging in Gzela. So Meida turns to Eldon and he says, you're right. You're 100% right. The Rambam says that a Mesachik Bekuvio is a Gazlan. And Azoi Shteit in Tur, and this is before the Mechaber, but the Mechaber also says that a Mesachik Bekuvio is a Gazlan. Stating that, really that Rambam is a very, very shver Rambam. Right, let's think about it. We learned the Gemara together. Mesachik Bekuvio is Pasoleidus. Why is he Pasoleidus? It was a machlokes, Rami Bachama and Rav Sheshes. Rami Bachama said that a Mesachik Bekuvio is Pasoleidus because Asmach the Loikanyo. So as a result, when you take from the person that loses, you're stealing from him. Rav Sheshes said that the reason a Mesachik Bekuvio is Pasoleidus is because he's not Oisik B'Yeshuva Yishalayim. Now, we paskin, not like Rami Bar Chama, that gambling is an Asmachta. And as a result, for sure you're not a Gazon Day Raisa, right? There's no problem with Masmach Talikang. So if that's the case, it sounds like the reason Masach Bekuvio is Pasoleidus is because he's not Oisip Yeshuv Shalayla. But he's not a Gazlan. Yet the Rambam says that a Masach Bekuvio is Pasoleidus, yes, because he's a Gazlan. And it's really a very, very shver Rambam. In fact, the Magen Mishnah says on the Rambam, Tzorich in. So Meida told Eldad, I understand, you're coming from a Rambam. But at the same time, this Rambam's a Pli Atzuma. Because the Magen Mishnah applied Tzorich in on the Rambam. And he says, I am ben Mukhe Yosef, who came out now like the Rambam. And he says, I am Beshulte Giborim, who also was Matmi on the Rambam, and tried very hard justifying the Rambam. But it's even more than that, because the Rambam in Hilchas Eidos, when the Rambam says, L'maisa, that a Mesachik Bekuvio, his Pasul Eidos, he says the following words. Just listen to his words. We're not going into the sugya now. But just the words of the Rambam. V'chein ha-Mesachik Bekuvio, v'hu shaloi tia loi umnes Elohi. That's only if he doesn't have another job. It's one of the hardest lines in Rambam. But the bottom line is, the Rambam says Mefurish, it's only a problem if you don't have another umnes. See, even in the Rambam, you have to have another umnes. But the bottom line is, the Magen Mishnah in Perek Vav of Hilchos Zeh LaAveda already said Tzorich in on this Rambam, and clearly other Rishonim held not that way. And if that's the case, Meida tells Eidot, I understand Siddur Rambam, but you can't unequivocally knock me out based on that Rambam because there's so many Rishonim that are not that way, and Kibli like the other Rishonim. I have a right to go like the other Rishonim. I'm not necessarily Meshubit to the Rishonim that
you're working with, and as a result, it's not something I'm mechuyev to do. And then he continued, Meidad, and he tells Eidad, I'll tell you not just that. I happen to think there's a toyelis gedoyla b'midos that comes about from gambling. When a person gambles, it's actually, it's very good, it's good lessons for life. I think a person should gamble at a very young age, not me, this is Meidad talking. He says, I think people should gamble at a very young age, because if you do that, you're going to learn some incredible life lessons. In fact, you're going to learn more from losing than you're going to learn from winning. Ki yargal atzmai lizba mikrei hazman. Because you're going to learn to deal with loss. Right? It's very hard. People struggle to deal with loss. You're going to learn to deal with loss. V'lo yidak. And you're not going to worry b'va'ol of pisoim tzoyruch lohitzi ulefazer. Like this, at a young age, you're going to be used to the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of life. And adarabba, it's going to toughen you up a little bit. He says, you know, also, when I sit with people at the gambling table, I know exactly where they are. He says, Chazal say, begimbo dvarim adam nikar, bekisei, bekasei, or bekoisei. I hold betzichkoi, meaning by gambling, you know more about a person than any. Because you're right, they are bekas, and it is bekisei. It's kisei and kasei wrapped in one, right? And if they're serving drinks, also koisei. But the point is, you have all these things sezamen. And the reality is that you get to learn so much about a person. These are life lessons that you get to learn. And he says like this. He fears us. He says that the pasuk says Yodai Bekoil V'Yad Kolboy. So he says Bakoil is Begematria 52. That's right. Everyone knows that's the most famous gematria in Shas, right? Avram Zokin Baba Yomim V'Hashem Berech Es Avram Bakoil. Bakoil Begematria 52, which is the gematria of Ben. He says, you know what 52 are? It's the 52 cards that you have in the deck of cards. He says not just that. He says V'Yad Yod V'Yad Kolboy. Yad is Begematria 20. With the koilel, pull out the koilel. With the koilel, he said it's 21. 21 are the dots of the on the cube of a die, right? 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 equals 21. So he says gambling is so fundamental. It's so exciting, this thing. He says, Yodai Bakoil, V'yad Kolboy. Yodai Bakoil 52, that's your deck of cards. V'yad Kolboy, those are your dice. Guy spiel. This is what Meidah tells Eidah. Either way, they go back and forth. I can't go through the whole thing. But then at the end, the last chapter, Elder goes to Meidah and he says, you know, Meidah, I hear everything you're saying. You're a bigger bakishman than I am. Everything I say, you come back. He says, but I'll ask you a question. Man to a man, do you really believe everything that you're saying? In other words, and the way he prefaces it, it was the Gemara that we quoted earlier. Previous raid, right? The Gemara from Rameir. That the Gemara says, Rameir, the reason why we're passing like him is because he was able to be Metaris Shrotzen. So he says, all these terutzim that you're giving me right now, right? V'roya ani b'chachmascha ki nevunos. Toimer al tomei tohar, v'al tohar tomei. V'ein machlin. Ro'isi adheno b'chidud b'noscha. Tucha l'taris asheretz b'shivim ponim. So if that's the case, just be honest with me. Is that what you're doing right now? Or not? So Meidah turns to Eldon, and he says, Eldon, you're asking a very, very good question. He says, I have to be honest with you. And the truth is, you're right. I agree with you 100%. Everything that I'm saying now is, I'm being Rameyer. I'm being able to be Matthias Schnotzen. About Vadigavis, you're right. And he starts listing out why gambling is a terrible thing. Rishoyna Chayetzar Yichya. He says it's a life of tzar. This is a life. You're always nervous and anxious. He's the most nervous people I know are gamblers. He says, Lamaisa, Lamaisa, this is not the way it is. And then he tells him like this. Uladaiti. In Bishonim Kadmonius, Hayu B'nei Yisrael, Luhutem Acharak, Silos Azeh. He said, if the earlier days people would have gambled, Kachahemayoim, like they gamble today, Loibel Vad, Chazal hoyo oisem oise cherim b'Yisrael. Not only would Chazal have made a cherim, ki gami pi elyoin hoyo yoitze. It would have came from a kodesh. By the way, for a 13-year-old to write the way he writes is mind-boggling. This is Ramchal-esque, right? Same world. It's that level. He said, the Eibishtu would have said, mi pi agvur, loy sirtzach, loy sinof, loy signoid, and loy sitzchoik. Thou shalt not gamble. Elo, shloi hoyu chishudim al shtuzeh. Ma'abid azman yoker shevenim tzois. Hamutul aleinu lohitzi berotzein boireinu ulikiyim gufeinu. He said to go ahead and do this. He said there was never a havamin in the world because Kadosh Baruch had a higher opinion of us. And that's why he didn't say thou shalt not gamble. We weren't chashed on it. But if we were chashed on this, this would have never happened. And he says, I hold that as it relates to gambling, ala klofim vala kubiyos. Klofim are cards, kubiyos are dice. As it relates to the cards and dice, yoimar ashrei mishaloi chaman. Praise the someone that never saw it, and praise the someone that never... Either way, Eldad, here's what Meidad says. Ah, Meidad, you made my day. I was sweating. I was so nervous. I thought we lost you. Baruch Hashem, you're still with us. And then Medad gets the final word in this Sefer Surmeira. He turns to Elda and he says, Nesov and Nelchav and Nova Yo'ira, let's travel together. They were in the Machina. Let's go back into the city. Kivah HaShemesh V'Hayoyim Rei. Because the sun is setting and the day is coming to an end. V'Oid Yomim Boim Yiyud V'Reinu B'Milu Dei Raisa. And moving forward, what we should do is we shouldn't talk about the shtosim anymore. We should be talking and learning. Ki ashrei misha amal matayra. Because praise this someone that's amal matayra. Eitzchayim hil machzikim ba, v'samcheh m'ushar, ba'oylam hazeh ula'oylam haba, tam v'nishlam baruch Hashem la'oylam. And this is where Sur Meira ends. But this is not where the story ends. In fact, to a certain degree, this is really where the story begins. So Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Mimodena writes this sefer when he's 13 years old. And this is brilliant insight to this brilliant wunderkind, however you say that in Italian, who's living in Venice, who has this sort of make-believe ikuach together with himself, Eldon, Umeidon, Mesfakhin, the Machina, and the pros and the cons, and the vices and the virtues of gambling. So Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Mimodena, as we mentioned, grows up to become this prolific writer, this prolific darshan. That's how he earned a living. He used to go speak, and he was paid a lot of money to give drashas. He wrote many, many sfarim. He wrote tshuvas. One of the sfarim, or one of the books that he wrote, was an autobiography. And the autobiography, he named Chaye Yehuda, and he talked about his own life. And in his life, he revealed something which is really hard to believe because it's so uncommon within this world that we live in. And that is that during his entire lifetime, he struggled with a gambling addiction. In fact, he was a compulsive gambler. Ad kedei kach. I'll just read to you a few excerpts so you can get a little bit of an idea. I'm reading it from an English translation. So he writes as follows. This is the first time that I found in the book that he mentions it. About 15 days after giving birth, my wife took sick with a persistent fever that lasted approximately 20 days. Afterward, on the 25th of Adar, March 17th, 1594, she fell into bed, and it was discovered that she had some certain virus that I can't pronounce. Her illness worsened, and she lost consciousness, reaching the gates of death. The doctor said there was no longer any hope. On Wednesday, the 6th of Nisan, she came so close to expiring that preparations were already being made for her burial. And I wept copiously for her. Then I asked a certain boy, Psoik li psukech, recite your verse from scripture for me. He answered with the verse, in order that your days may be long. Laman tarich yomim, a pasuk in the Torah. And when I heard that, I knew that everything was going to be good. Whereupon I offered many prayers. God granted my plea. Her sickness began to abate and she was healed. But because I had to find someone to nurse the child, etc., etc. At the beginning of the year, 5355, September 15, 1594, I went to Moncton Yana with my mother and teacher and with my son Mordechai to travel around. After my safe return, I began to teach in the house of Eliakim Cohen Panarati. May God, his rock, protect him and grant him long life. That is to say, I boarded at my own table and gave lessons in his house. I had about 23 pupils. During Hanukkah of the year 5355, Satan fooled me into playing games of chance. He said, the Satan got a hold of me, and he got me to start gambling, causing me no small amount of damage, for I lost about 100 ducats. So this is in the year 1594. He was born in 1571, so he's approximately 23 years old. It was a Hanukkah, and the Satan, Kedarke Bakoidish, got him to start playing. I'm going to skip around here a little bit. During Hanukkah, 1598, Satan duped me into playing games of chance. And by the following Shavuos, I lost more than 300 ducats. But from then until the eve of Hanukkah of the year 1600, I watched myself carefully, devoting myself to my teaching for 18 months, and I paid up all my debts. Then the same friar misled me into the secret company of players of games of chance and caused me to lose much money. Skipping around a little bit. On Tuesday, the 10th of Thomas, 5361, this is July 10th in the year 1601, the sage, Rabbi Joseph Pardo, may God his rock protect him and grant him long life, became inspired to employ me to produce a commentary on the Torah, which would be compiled from all authors who were in print up until that time. I began with 27 authors. See, he's Malachi 27 Mefarshi al HaTorah, and he's given a job to put together this Likut, this Mekroyos Gedolos, choosing from among them only the type of comment that explicated the main meaning of the text.
Pshutei Shal Mikra, and was therefore suitable for every householder. In truth, had I completed it, it would have been an impressive and beautiful work. But I only did the portions of Bereshis, Pinchas, Matos, and Maseh. Why? For I did not refrain from playing games of chance. When Rabbi Pardoz saw that I was not devoting myself to the task, he took it away from me and did not wish to see it finished. Skipping along a little bit later, he writes, during the entire year of 5364, that's 1603-1604, I lived in poverty and distress and did not turn away from the evil of playing games of chance. Finally, at the end of the year, at the end of El, I went to Ferrara. There I contracted to stay and teach the sons and grandsons of the wealthy Joseph Zalman of blessed memory in his house. After a month, I brought my wife and children to live there, only his woolen, etc., etc. And this is Mamish, the narrative. He goes on. 40 years later, he's still writing this, that he was still engaged in this inyan. In 5403, this is the year 1642, he says, from September until November, I played evil games of chance constantly, going from failure to failure, until because of my heavy debts and depleted resources, I vowed to stop until the upcoming Pesach, April 1643. Now, three verses from the Torah. One last one. Between Rosh Hashanah of 5404 and Chanukah of that year, a time of bitterness and impetuousness for me all my life. Because Chanukah was always when he got fachat. I engaged in efforts to bring my son, Lord Jacob Mata, may God his rock protect him and grant him long life, back to Venice from his banishment. For before the war, either way, he writes over there, on the day preceding Chanukah, it was very hard for him. He heard that he lost one of his children and he went into a place of distress, and again the Satan chapten, and he started playing. See, this is Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Modena, who's one of the great Italian gedolim to ever live, and Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Modena, who wrote this book about gambling when he was 13 years old, making the case for and against it. And yet somehow, throughout his lifetime, he wrote in an autobiography that this is something that he struggled with. Now, I'm not sure if he was struggling with this already at the age of 13. There's no evidence of that, other than the fact that he wrote the book. But at the same time, this is something that would go down and would really, really be a big thorn in his side. So I was thinking, is it appropriate to speak this out in the share? I wasn't 100% sure. Abu Lameisa, as I asked myself, why did he write this? Right? Sometimes you know a piece of information. Okay, so who told you to say it? But he wrote this. He wrote this himself. This was something that he wrote. And the emphasis is, if you look at the first page of the Sefer, this is how he starts. This is the heading to his Sefer. Ma'at v'ra'im hoyu yemei shnei chaye ba'ilam hazeh. Who's he quoting? He's quoting Yaakov Avinu, which be'emes, in and of itself, is a pella, because we know Yaakov Avinu was punished for saying that. But he's quoting Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu tells Pari, he says, you have no idea what a difficult life I had. This is the heading to his autobiography. Right? He starts like that. This is the life of the story of Judah Aryeh, son of the noble and trustworthy Isaac of blessed memory, son of the Goyim physician, Rabbi Mordechai of blessed memory. Right? So many of the great Italian Rabbanim were also physicians. Son of the venerable Isaac of blessed memory, son of the wealthy Moses of blessed memory. Either way, he goes on and he says that I want my children and my Talmidim. It's not only for the family. I want my Chevra to know what a difficult life I had. I want them to know that my life was miserable from mamish the day that I stepped foot on this earth to the day that I died. Ma'at v'ram hoyu meishnei chayu b'olam hazeh. And he says, I want the olam to understand what a challenging life I had. It's passion. He wanted this Sefer written. Now, I'll tell you more than that. This Sefer the olam knew about. And the biggest raya, exhibit A for this, is that the Chidah in the Shem HaGdolim. Number one, he quotes Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Modena, Echa Mirabani Venitzia, Midaktek, Meshoirer, Darshan, Chibur Beis Lechem Yehuda, Chosus Alein Yaakov, Vyeser, Chiburim, Midrashus Maftechas. And then he tells a story about Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Modena. He says like this, Ro'isi Sefer Chai Yehuda B'Ksav Yaar. The Chidah read this autobiography. Laharav Niskar, Yoidia Durachav Shekoysev Sham, Al Kola Over Olim Mechayev. He tells his life story, Hein Lutoiv and Hein Lamutov, the good and the bad. The Chidah, he saw the Sefer. He quotes an excerpt from it. He saw it and he knew that there was good in the Sefer and there was bad in the Sefer. And the Chidah quoted it. This was something that made it around. This evidence that the Kadmoinim, Afiyah de Gedoyros, had the Sefer. It wasn't printed in a formal setting until maybe 100 years ago. We'll have to ask Nachi. But the point is, this was something that made its rounds to the point that the Chidah quotes it. He wanted the Sefer written. Now why? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't really know.
But it certainly sounds like he was trying to give chizik. And the emes is, he lived in Venice. And if you know anything about what Venice was like in the late 1500s, early 1600s, it was a place that was mole taiva and mole nisyonis. It wasn't an easy place to live. And it seems people must have gotten fachapt in it. You go through the autobiography, you see it. He's not the only one that's struggling with this. A lot of people were struggling with this. And to me, it seems pretty clear that he wanted to give a message over to people, and that is that you might be struggling, and maybe even struggling in a very, very dark, lonely place. You're in a place of addiction where you don't think you can creep out, and you may feel like your life is valueless, and you might be walking around with this hergish, the hergish of ma'at v'ram hoyu yumei shnei chayu b'ayu mazeh. And he wrote, I want you to know, I'm going to confess, I'm going to write something that's not popular. You're not going to see people of his ilk ever tell a story like this, and nobody would ever say it about him, but he said it about himself. It's too late. And he says, I'm going to tell you my story, because I had the same exact story as you did. But afal pikein, I had the schus to write close to 30 svarim. And I was able to be magadol my children with Torah l'mitzvahs. And I was able to become something. It's a miserable life. Do everything you could possibly do to get out of it. I'm not encouraging it. Ma'at v'ram ho yimei shnei chayi b'ayil mazeh. But I think that Hudaya Modena was taking one for the team, pun intended. And I think he felt that this was a message that people in his day needed to hear. And really, this is a message that people in all days need to hear. Because the addiction and these things are real, and people suffer from it, and they usually don't talk about it. But the mice out there, it exists. And for someone, a great Italian rabbi, to accomplish what he was able to accomplish, going and doing what he was involved in, mamish, till at the end, my side, this is something that it takes him through. We went through 45 years of this. You have to read it to believe it. But the point is, he, in his mind, was for sure giving people chizik. There's no question at all that's how he did it. Now, he was a great gadol, and whenever you talk about a gadol and a chet, you know, you have to remember Chazal say, "Kol ha'im ruven chatein elatoya, kol ha'im davet chatein elatoya, kol ha'im shleim chatein elatoya." We have no hasaga. Obviously, we have no way of properly appreciating who Rabbi Yehuda Arya Modena was and what it means that he was addicted to gambling. This is something that's above our pay grade if there's ever been something. But Abba Lamaisa Eim Mikri Yoitza Medei Pshutai. And just like David HaMelech throughout Sefer Tehillim, he talks about certain things. And Chazal say, so people should hear, right? He was Hekim Ula Shel Tshuva, that if a Chalt Yachid will ever be Chayte, it's a Gemara by Dazar Daf Talit, they're going to tell him, were you Chayte worse than David HaMelech? And look at David. David Malka Meshicha. David's a Merkava. Right? David's one of the spheres. He's Malka. Look who David HaMelech became. So if David HaMelech could become David HaMelech, even though he got fachapt in something, you could also become something, you know, you fachapt in something. It's pasha to me. Again, I don't know. But this is what I think. This is the message that he was trying to give over. This is the story of Rabbi Yehuda Arya Mimodena, this great, great Goyen. Yehi zichrei baruch, zesoysof, yiyu, doivavos, bekef.